welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, Raylene, and...
Me, it's Ariel.
What's up? So today, as you'll realize, once again, we've done a role reversal. I am hosting. It's me. I'm in charge. And that means we have a guest episode coming next week.
Yeah.
So that is something for you guys to look forward to. Should we tell them who it is?
Yes. We have the wonderful Sana of Books and Quills, longtime friend of ours from YouTube land. Sana is a gem. We just finished recording that episode, which is why Raylene is hosting this episode, because I always end up hosting the guest episodes, but we recorded that one first, so now Raylene
it
is
just gets crazy.
And I mean, the funny thing is that, guys, we have so many guests. We have so many guests coming.
Crazy weeks coming.
Yeah, we have some really exciting guests coming in the upcoming week. So, Raylene, you better get comfy in this chair of hosting the update episodes, because you're going to be doing a couple of them.
Oh, indeed. That's true. It's going to be like this for the next 6 weeks, hopefully. So today we are going to be doing our book updates. We've got a good book haul for you guys. But first and foremost, you need to tell us about your bookshelves. I can see that there are books on some bookshelves behind you. Tell me everything.
The moment has arrived, ladies and gentlemen, and I finished my bookshelves. I said that I would. To be fair, I said that I would three times. So it maybe comes with a little less gravitas, but I said that I would, and I definitely did. And it's a big moment. It's a scary moment, because I'm scared they're all going to collapse. But they seem to be really legitimately very strong. So let me just quickly walk you through the situation here. I finished sanding them, like the next level of polyurethane, applied the final coat of polyurethane, let that sit for a while, sanded that, put the shelves up, but just kind of to dry, and I let them dry for a week because I just didn't want to mess them up. I didn't want to mess my books up or anything, so I was like, I'll just be cautious and I'll give it a whole week. Well, that week was ended yesterday. So yesterday my dad and I did the final step of putting together the giant shelf that goes over the door. This will make sense to everyone someday when I post a photo or like post a video about it. But basically there's, six. There are six shelves and the top shelf is extra long. It goes all the way across the wall and over my door. And so that one had to be kind of doweled together, between a long plank and a shorter plank because there was no wood that long at my hardware store. So it looks incredible. So yesterday, Raylene, I unloaded all of my books onto the shelves and it was honestly exhausting. It was a lot of books. And it's really funny too, because I can't reach the top two shelves of the books. They're so high up, which is sort of a dream.
Yeah.
But for organizing it in the initial phase is kind of difficult because I'm like trying to reach up there to shove the books up there. I basically have them. I mean, all of my books almost are on the shelves. There's like a few that are in my bedroom or on my desk and stuff. But that's just my life. There's always some books that are not going to be on the shelves. But now I just have to do the like finessing. I have them in their basic section. So like the bottom shelf is all classics. Above that is all my nonfiction and my poetry. Above that is all of my adult fiction. Above that is all my graphic novels, etc. So they're like in sections, but within those sections, they're not organized at all. So like authors are all apart and series are all apart and stuff. And there's a few little sections that I don't know how I'm going to put them, like my favorite books and my Asian translated literature and like all those little sections. I still don't know exactly where I want to put them. And I haven't put any like knickknacks up yet, like plants or anything. So,
well,
you know,
the great thing is you have so much space.
Yes.
I love that. Like your books aren't cramped at all. Like you've got lots of room that you could spread them out. You can forward if you want to, like you've got a lot of wiggle room right now, which is really cool.
Yeah, when I showed them to my mom, she was like, oh, you have so much space. And I was like, perfect for buying more.
That's what we need.
Yeah. Do you like them, Marlene? Do you think they look cool?
I think they look great. I can't Thank wait you. For you to just buy, like, you know, 50 more books yeah. so that they'll be like a little bit more full, but yeah, like yeah. they look great. Like, they the shelves amazing. Themselves, you did a great job. So.
Thanks, man. I can't wait, like I said, for you to come and touch them because they're so soft.
They're so soft. Soft like butter. So yeah, we're all super happy that you got your bookshelves up. It's been a long journey. And
it's
I'm
such
sure
a relief.
Be happy to
yeah,
hear
it is such up. A relief. And I need to give a huge thank you to Kaylee, who is our social media manager, for putting up with me as I have struggled to take photos of books for our Instagram. Because obviously on the Books Unbound Instagram, we like to post photos of the books we talk about. Well, mm-hmm. most of the books that we talk about, I haven't had access to for months. And so I'm always late with my photos because I'm trying to like dig up these books, or I just like am taking bad photos because like I'm like trying to invent like, oh, here's a photo of a bookmark. I don't know. But yeah. Yeah, so thank you, Kaylee, for being patient with me. Finally, we have come to the promised land where I actually have access to all of my
the
books.
The book photos will be incredible from
yeah,
here on.
Yeah, I'm probably putting too much pressure on myself here, but I'll try.
It's okay. So we thought it would be fun to start with a book haul again because, as per usual, we've got more books.
Oops.
You know? Oopsie daisy. But the funny thing about part of my book haul, and I think part of your book haul, is that We bought all these books specifically because we got money from ICBC, which is such a random
My enemy,
thing.
ICBC.
ICBC, which is just like the monopoly in like insurance place for cars in BC. It's the only way you can get insurance, and they charge so much goddamn money.
Yeah, they're insane. I think we have definitely talked about ICBC yeah. before, because I talked about, I mean, when you got in your car accident, like yeah, we had to deal with ICBC, but also I was explaining my debacle with trying to cancel my freaking insurance. Guys, okay, Raylene, I literally had to go through the process of attempting to cancel my insurance mm-hmm. 5 times before they would let me just quickly tell you what they said was wrong every single time. So the okay. first time I called and I was like, hello, I'd like to cancel my insurance, and they're like, well, you can't yeah. unless you send us a letter and you send us a photo of your new registration and a photo of this and a photo of, and I was like, okay, fine, I will do all that. So I turned away. I got all the things they asked me for. I sent it to them. I called them back. I said, hello, I sent you all of the forms you asked for. Could you please delete my insurance? And they said, no, you did not specify how many of your license plates you will be sending back. And I was like, okay, you didn't say that I needed to do that, but that's fine. So I turned around and I added to my little letter that they made me write. I added like how many of my plates I'll be sending back. And then I called them again and I was like, hey, okay, I edited that. Can you please delete my insurance? And they said, well, no, we didn't know you were only going to be sending one back, because I like lost one or whatever. They're like, we didn't know you were only going to be sending one back. You need to fill out a separate form. And I was like, oh, okay. So they sent me the form. I filled it out and I sent it. I called them back. Then that time they said that my photos weren't high resolution enough. So I took photos on my DSLR camera and I was like, if these giant photos aren't good enough, I don't know what to tell you. Then I sent that. Then, oh my God, what was the final problem? There was one more problem where I like, they wanted me to do something. And I was like, okay, I finally did it. I called them back the other day, attempt number 5. And they were like, it has been successful. You have deleted your insurance.
Finally.
And we have issued you a check for a refund, because they kept charging me for the past literally 3 months that I have attempted to cancel this insurance.
So you've got even more ICBC money.
Yes, but the money you and me are talking about is ICBC. I feel like every Winston like personality trait that I have of like down with Big Brother is completely aimed at ICBC. Down with ICBC. I absolutely hate ICBC. I don't know. It's like, usually I'm very polite on the internet. I cannot stand them. They're a bunch of crooks, Raylene.
They truly are.
But like, obviously during COVID, no one is going anywhere. And so people are not driving as much as they are. But ICBC didn't lower anyone's premiums. They didn't lower anyone's rates, even though no one is driving anywhere. So they're making all of this money because no one is getting in collisions. And so after a bunch of public pressure, they finally were like, okay, yeah, you're right. We're sorry. We're going to refund you. And it was like about a month's worth of money.
Like, yeah, like it wasn't that much.
It wasn't that much, to be fair, for like the amount of money that people are paying. But we got a free, I guess it's not free because we kind of did pay for it, but still, we got a refund of money that nobody was expecting. And it's kind of hilarious because everyone in British Columbia that owns a car got this check.
Yeah.
And me and Raylene, we bought books. We're like,
let's spend that money on books.
What did you get, Raylene? I'm excited to see. I got two really strange books.
Okay, I had to go back through my shelves because I already put all of these books away. And I was like, what books did I get? And I think I got all of them. Gosh, I have a stack here. Let me just load up my stack.
I got more, but they haven't arrived yet because a few of them were kind of strange. So
I ordered a couple.
Waiting.
More recently as well. So that'll be probably in the next one.
Yeah.
In the next book haul. I've just gone completely off the rails. I know it's funny we laugh at me because at the beginning of the year I said I wasn't going to buy any new books except for my pre-orders. And I've just completely lost track of that. It's like once you start buying new books again, it's really hard to stop.
Really? I've been thinking about asking you this question on the podcast and I think it's the moment to ask you this.
Okay.
Would you like to cancel that promise? Would you
absolutely
like to just
it's gone?
Okay, I feel like you just gotta set free so that people aren't out there like, oh, she broke it again. No, she can't break it because she's done with it. It didn't work
I'm
out
done.
It was an
maybe
experiment.
Next year I'll try again. I'll do something else. But of right now, you know, it's a hard time for everyone and everybody deals with hard times in different ways, and for me that's buying books, specifically buying new books. Just really really excites me. I love getting a nice beautiful crispy new book.
Well, we're setting you free, Raylene. Buy books just with joy, have no guilt. Do it.
Indeed. So I did actually thrift some of these books. So I'll start with my thrift haul because it's a pretty exciting thrift haul, actually. I found some good stuff.
Cool.
So first off, I got The Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead. Got a nice paperback copy of that at the thrift store.
Mm.
That's one that obviously I've been meaning to read it for a while. I also have The Nickel Boys. So now I have Colson Whitehead's two big books and I am excited to read both of them. And then I also got, this one is kind of cool, The Toynbee Convector by Ray Bradbury. I had never heard of this.
Whoa, what
a beautiful
cool
edition.
Cover.
It's short stories.
You
also
have to share that one on the Instagram. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I was just like, what is this? And how did I find it at a thrift store? So cool. And the next one is, I'm kind of scared to read this book honestly, but excited at the same time, In the Miso Soup by Ryu Murakami.
Great name.
So no relation to Haruki as far as I know, but Ryu Murakami is also very well known in the book world because he writes apparently like really kind of scary books. I think his books are kind of more gory and graphic than Murakami. He's a different vibe for sure, so I'm kind of scared to read it, but that book I've been meaning to read it for a long time at the same time, so I grabbed it because it was very cheap. And then lastly, very exciting for my thrift haul, is Outlawed by Anna North. This is one that you talked about in book news many months ago when it was first coming out. And I just so happened to find it at a thrift store, which was really surprising.
I can't believe
to me.
You texted me that one. I think that's so cool.
Yeah. So exciting. And a lot of people in the Patreon community have been telling me that I should read this. So I will definitely be reading it soon. I just don't know when. But so I'm really excited about that thrift haul. But then I did get some new books from my local indie bookstore. I just wanted to get some books, so I did.
Mm-hmm.
The first one that I got is Breasts and Eggs by Miyako Kawakami. Have you heard of this one?
I've definitely heard of it, but I don't know really what it's about.
I don't really remember what it's about either. But I bought it. I definitely bought it for a reason. I remember reading what it was about back in the day, and it just like has been stuck in my head. Like, that's a book I need to buy. And honestly, I kind of like that because I know that there is a very strong reason why I wanted to read this.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what it was. So that's when intriguing. I start reading it, it'll be interesting and I won't have any idea what's going on. So I kind of love that. The next book I got, wow, this book is heavy. Say Nothing, A True Story of Murder and Memory in Northern Ireland by Patrick Radden Keefe. This is a very, very popular true crime book that has to do with the Troubles. And I don't really know much about the Troubles and like what happened and what that means. And
yeah, it's one of it's one of those historical moments that we know existed and we, you know that like one sentence synopsis of, but you don't actually know.
Yeah, like, I don't know anything. And I'm really interested in learning more. And I've just heard nothing but good things about this book. So I have been dying to read it for a little while now. And I just happened to find it in paperback, which was really exciting.
Cool.
And the last book that I got is one that we talked about a few weeks ago, and I said I wanted to buy it to support the author, and it's a hardcover, so I like hesitated, but I got Detransition Baby by Tori Peters. I did. I took the plunge. I got the book.
I have to ask you, which cover are you more a fan of? Because there's a very different cover in
there's
the UK.
There's a different one?
Oh, yeah.
I've only seen the one that I have.
Oh, that's so interesting. Raylene has the, like, greeny, mosaic-y, I don't know how else to, it's, like, kind of looks
I'm just going to look it up quickly to see what the other
looks
cover
like looks tissue like. Tissue paper, like, it looks like a, I'm trying to explain yours. How do you explain what you have? It's like patchwork.
It's got faces like all over it. It's kind of like, I was going to say like pop art, but that's not quite right, I don't think. But it's got really great colors and it's very hard to explain, but it's a very cool cover. Is the other one this pink one with the ribbon?
Yes. A pink one
okay,
with
I like
ribbon.
My cover way, way, way better.
Yeah.
It's more unique. It's a lot more interesting to look at. I prefer mine for sure.
I agree. I think I like yours more, but it's kind of hard because they're really, really different. And I haven't read the book, so I don't know like which one fits the vibe more.
That's true. But yeah, so I'm really hyped to have this. The thing is, I'm like, am I going to read this realistically? Am I going to read this in the next month? I do not know. So
get ready for punishment.
Keep that punishment fresh. I can't remember what we decided on for a punishment, but keep it fresh because I might have to do it.
I think it was that I get to pick the next book you read.
Oh, fun, fun, fun. See, that's not so bad. But I will try to read it. I will try to read it the next month because I do really want to read it. I just suddenly am bombarded with books I need to read. Like, my library has just thrown, like, 100 holds at me all of a sudden that just came in all at the same
time.
And I've got all these audiobooks I want to listen to
that
are also
awesome.
From the library. So there's a time limit. And I'm just like, ah! So I have no idea what my reading life is going to look like for the next month or so. But I'm excited to own that book.
Think it's awesome. I'm glad that you bought it. It supported the author, and we'll see. Well, I'm very curious to hear what you think. I've now started to hear a lot of mixed reviews. I wouldn't even call it mixed. I haven't heard anyone who dislikes it. I've just heard people who like it or people who love it. But a lot of people who like it who are like, this is a really great book, but I can feel that it's a debut book. Do you know what I mean?
Right,
like
right,
that
right.
kind of comment.
Okay. That's interesting. Well, what did you pick up? I'm very curious to hear.
Yes. Okay. Well, I will say I'm very jealous of your thrift storing. Okay. Nova Scotia has gone into sort of a lockdown. It's not, I don't know what, you know, there's different degrees of lockdowns throughout the world. Restrictions, I guess, is a better word for it because there's just different restrictions. Currently, we're in a situation where we're not supposed to leave our municipality.
Oh, yeah, we have that too.
Okay, there you go. So this just started like, I want to say a week ago, but it was really funny because we literally didn't realize that that had happened because we had been in a lockdown for our own lockdown for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Because my dad came home from working in BC. He came home. We all went into a 2 week lockdown. We finally emerged like, yay, we can go out again. And then when we looked up the rules, it was like, no restrictions. You can't leave your municipality. And we're like, okay, we're trapped. There is a thrift store. Do you remember a while ago I got a really beautiful copy of Grapes of Wrath?
Yes.
That came from a thrift store. Is it in my municipality? I don't know. It might be like right outside of my muse, but I'm going to have to Google maps. What the hell the boundaries of my... Mm-hmm. Who has ever thought about what the fuck the boundaries of their municipality is?
Never needed to think about it.
So I'm going to have to look that up because I would love to go to a thrift shop and just sort of look around and see if... Because you've been finding so many good thrift shop finds lately.
It's great. I don't know what's going on right now. Yeah. I think everybody's just donating their unwanted books instead of selling them to bookstores. I have no idea. I don't know what's going on.
Maybe because it's springtime. There's like a lot of people who are just spring cleaning or something. Mm-hmm. So I haven't gotten any thrift shop finds. These two books that I bought, one of which I did not realize was a hardcover, but now I guess I have to read it. we'll start with that one. So I really enjoyed Motherhood by Sheila Hetty, as you will recall. And she has another really famous book. What was it called? Sheila Hetty. Tell me, Google, How Should a Person Be? Have you heard of this book?
Maybe. I don't know.
This is I think this book came out in 2013. And it was the book that kind of like really started her career and a lot of people really loved. But then Motherhood came out and that one like just got really big. So I read that one, hadn't heard of How a Person Should Be. But then I was like, you know, I really like that book. So I typed in Sheila Hetty into my bookshop's website, added How Should a Person Be to my cart. And then this other book came up and I was like, what? I've never heard of this book. I don't think Sheila Hetty wrote that book. And it turned out Sheila Hetty wrote the afterword of this book. But the book sounded really cool. So I was like, hell, I'll just buy it. Because I was spending ICBC's money. I was like, sure, you can treat me to this strange book called An Apprenticeship or The Book of Pleasures by Clarice Lispector. Whoa.
That looks cool.
It does look cool. So I didn't realize it was a hardcover when I bought it. And then when I received it, I was like, whoops.
What if we both get punished this month because we kind of forgot that we bought hardcover?
I mean, I might get off lucky here because it's only 145 pages. So maybe I can squeeze this in. But I will say this was a real whim. Like, I really bought this on a giant whim. So I wasn't planning on reading it anytime soon.
Right.
But yeah, this is by Clarice Lispector. And it's funny because the only other book I own by her, I bought with you. Do you remember I bought that really beautiful neon yellow book?
Yes, I was wondering why the name sounded familiar.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm trying to remember what that book was called. Hold on, I can grab it from my bookshelves. All right, I got it, guys. It's called The Hour of the Star. This one has an introduction by Colm Tóibín. I think that's how you pronounce that. It's an Irish name.
You should just buy books based off of who did the introduction.
I know,
in a
right?
Book.
That's why I mentioned that this one, because on the cover it says introduction by this, and I think that's actually kind of a cool way to encourage, like English readers to pick up a translated book. Obviously, Clarice Lispector is a really big author and is a giant Portuguese. It turns out she's not Portuguese, which is really interesting. She's Brazilian is what I was trying to say, but their language is Portuguese. Brazilian author, like she's one of the biggest Brazilian authors, but it turns out here it says in her synopsis, was born to a Jewish family in Western Ukraine shortly after the First World War. She emigrated as an infant to Brazil, where she grew up in poverty. So she's not born in Brazil, which is very interesting. When I mentioned The Hour of the Star last summer when we got it, do you remember the trip that we got it on? That was a fun
that was
a fun little Ariel and Raylene adventure to the island to try and buy a cabin.
That was funny.
Oh man, I've lived 18 million lives between now and then. But when I talked about this book back that last summer, people were so excited. Like, apparently Clarice Lispector has insanely dedicated fans. Like, people were like, she is incredible. So I just decided to get this on a whim. And I don't really understand what it's about. It says, Lori, a primary school teacher, is isolated and nervous, comfortable with children, but unable to connect to adults. When she meets Ulysses, a professor of philosophy, an opportunity opens, a chance to escape the shipwreck of introspection and embrace the love of a man. So,
what's the book called again?
It's called An Apprenticeship or The Book of Pleasures. It has a really cool cover. I think it's really neat. And I had Connor read me the first few pages of it, Dude, it was weird. It's like a really big run-on sentence the whole first chapter, but it doesn't seem to be that way for the rest of the book, so I don't know what's going on there. Just to give you like the first little section, and not the first sentence, because it's a five-page sentence. Being so busy, she'd just come from the grocery shopping that the maid had rushed because she was shirking more every day. Though she only came in to get lunch and dinner ready, she dealt with a few things on the phone, including one awfully difficult phone call to the plumber. She'd gone to the kitchen to put away the groceries and place the apples, which were her best food, in the fruit bowl, despite not knowing how to arrange fruit. But Ulysses had hinted at the future possibility of, for example, making the fruit bowl look pretty, saw that the maid had left for dinner before leaving because lunch had been terrible. Meanwhile, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just like,
it's like, oh my god, I just want it to end.
It's like, where's that sentence gonna go? So anyway, it was cool. I'll give it a shot for sure. And maybe
that's cool
very soon. And then the second book that I bought is In Memory of Memory.
Hell yeah. I was actually going to talk about this? Segue into talking about our international booker, like what's going on yes. with our reading.
You're right, we need to do updates on this. We need to do updates about our international booker prize extravaganza. So in the, I guess, 2 weeks ago's episode, we talked about the International Booker Prize. And Raylene and I decided, after we called and stuff, we were like, let's both just buy a few of the books. If, like, whatever books interest us, we'll try and read them. And then we, hopefully, they'll arrive in time for because
for us to read them before the prize is announced.
Yeah. When we're recording this, it's May 9th, and I think the prize is announced on June 6th. So we have about a month.
Yeah, so we're pretty close. I think it might be June 2nd, but yeah.
June 2nd, okay. It's a tight timeline. So I picked two of the books. I picked In Memory of Memory, like I mentioned, by Maria Stepanova. I love that name, Maria Stepanova.
It's very good.
Sounds like an opera singer. And I think that this sounds great. And I bought this edition that I really love. I think it's so cool and beautiful.
I've never seen that one. All the ones I saw online were less cool than
that. So it's funny because I special ordered this one. And when I like put in my order, I then the next day got an email from the bookshop and they were like, we have the like Canadian edition in stock, and it's cheaper. Are you sure you want this one? And I was like, this one is so pretty that I don't care if it takes longer. I need this one. I stay with my decision. I'll keep that shot. I love this. But I think that the back of this really well describes what it's about better than I was able to before. So it says,
okay.
With the death of her aunt, the narrator is left to sift through an apartment full of faded photographs, old postcards, letters, diaries, and heaps of souvenirs. A withered repository of a century of life in Russia. Carefully reassembled with calm, steady hands, these shards tell the story of how a seemingly ordinary Jewish family somehow managed to survive the myriad persecutions and repressions of the last century. So it sounds awesome. The other book you and I both picked is The Employees. Which sounds so good, but we had the biggest struggle, didn't we, Raylene? We could not find where to order that book from.
No, it was impossible to find. And you asked on Instagram, and I also found this same method. I just Googled. I was like, buy The Employees by Olga Raven online, Canada or whatever. And the only way I could find to do it was ordering it directly from the publisher, which is what you ended up discovering from Instagram as well. And so that's what we both did.
Which is
so
funny. I haven't received it yet. I've never done that in my entire life. I have never bought a book from the publisher's website.
Well, and their website looks kind of crazy. I was like, is this like real? Like, can I order this book? It just looks like it's like an art piece.
Yes.
Or it's like a, it's,
it looked very much
an
like
exhibition.
It looked like an art gallery's website. It was like, it seems like a very cool press, I guess.
Totally.
But this book, where did we get it from? Iceland? Was it from, why do I think it was from Iceland? That's not right.
I don't know. I thought it was just from England, but maybe it's coming from Iceland.
But yeah, we both then, a few days later, got emails that said that they'd shipped the book, but we have not yet received the book.
I just checked the mail yesterday and it was not in there.
Yeah, I checked the mail on Friday as well, and it had not arrived. Okay, wait. I'm trying to figure out what country it's from. But yeah, it said that it shipped on April 26th. So it should arrive, right? But before June?
And it's a short book, so I feel like once it arrives, I'll just, like, we should just read it right away.
Yes.
Well, my journey has been a little bit different from yours. Okay. We both bought that same book, but I wasn't really sure if I could commit to buying any of the other ones.
Yeah, yeah.
So I saw which ones I could get from my library, and those are the ones I picked. So, I mean, the one I really, really wanted to get, I may end up buying if I read it and really enjoy it. And that one is, what's it called? The Dangers of Smoking in Bed.
Oh, yes,
that one by Mariana Enriquez.
Yes. Yeah,
that one I actually had on my TBR before we even talked about this.
Yeah, I remember just,
somebody was reading it.
Yeah, I remember you actually recognized that one from the list.
Yeah, so that one I really, really want to read, and luckily my library had that, so I got that one. The only other one they had was At Night All Blood is Black by David Diop, which is the one that's kind of scary sounding.
Yes.
It's about war.
So sad.
I am also a little frightened of reading this book, but it is very short. That's the nice thing about most of the books that were on this short list. Most of them are very short.
Yeah.
Memory of Memory is quite long.
It's the you longest one. Of the big ones, it's so dumb because I love short books, but this one really sounded so good to me that I was like, I must overcome my fear.
So yeah, as of right now, I haven't read any of them, but I plan to soon. Like I said, I have so many books out from the library right now and so many things happening. I just don't know when I'm going to get to them. Hopefully before June 2nd, I can read at least one.
Yeah, we'll see.
I've just got a lot going on in my reading life right now.
I was just looking at the website that we ordered the employees from because I was like, why did I think they were from, like, why did I think they were Icelandic, other than the vibe of the website? I think I was just confusing something, but it says it's a European publisher based at the Barbican in London. So the Barbican is an art center and museum. It's an art gallery and performing arts center. So we were completely right, really. I was like, it feels like an art museum, and you're like, or like an exhibition-y website. Yeah. It is. It's from the Barbican. I'm proud
of
us.
That makes perfect
sense. We nailed it.
Very cool.
But yeah, fingers crossed that arrives. But
okay.
Yeah.
Was that your whole book haul?
Yes, I only got these two books. Ordered a few more, but they haven't arrived yet. So one of them being the other Sheila Hetty book.
Right.
I ordered Robin Hood, like this very specific edition of Robin Hood that I want. And the bookstore was like, that doesn't come out till November. And I was like, whoops.
Oh well.
So yeah. Anyways.
Well, that's all I've got. Well, what have you been reading? Have you finished anything in the past while?
Have I finished it? Yes, I have. Yay! I usually haven't. So the first one is Emma, which obviously people will know because the book club episode is out when this comes out. I loved it. I thought it was so good. I'm really glad that I read it. I won't go too much into it at all because we did a whole episode about it, but I did want to mention it, and I really enjoyed it. And I really enjoyed our book club episode, actually. It was really fun to talk about.
Yeah, it had a lot of fun.
And I think, I talked about this in that episode as well, but I want to read another book that is kind of a classic, you know, woman in the past, I guess Emma is sort of a coming age of age story, right?
Yeah.
So something like that. And I think I want to read The Blue Castle by L.M. Montgomery.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
That's such a fun idea. You should read that next.
wouldn't it be dumb if I read that before I read Anne of Green Gables?
That would be kind of silly, but I don't care. You know the story of Anne of Green Gables so well at this point. I feel like even when you read it, it'll just be like revisiting an old friend, whereas it's
totally
like reading a new book.
Yeah, so that book is about a woman who's like, I forget if she's like 28 or 29, which, I mean, even now, if you're like 28 and 29 and you're like not in a relationship, even now, you know, some people will be like, are you worried? Like, oh, you're getting a little old. You know what I mean? Like, which I obviously we completely disagree with, but let alone 200 years ago or whatever, when this book was written 100 years ago, people were like, when you were 28 or 29 and you weren't married and you didn't have kids, people were like, you're done, man. You're a spinster. No. So, The Blue Castle is about a woman who's in that situation. She doesn't really mind, but like she's in that situation and then something happens and I don't know what, cause I haven't read the book, but something happens to kind of spiral her forward. And, It seems really cool. So it seems like a really neat book. So I finished Emma, loved it. And then the other thing was I read The Sound of a Wild Snail Eating by Elizabeth Tova Bailey. So this was the book that I picked to read for the reading vlog for our Patreon. And basically, it's just been a couple of really hectic weeks over at Ariel headquarters, and I'd forgotten that I needed to do a reading vlog for the patrons, and I was like, oh no, I need to pick something super short. So I went through my books, and I picked out a bunch of like really short books. I read the first few pages of each one, and this was the one that kind of just like, I was instantly like, oh, what's gonna happen? And so I picked that one. I did a really long vlog. It was like 24 minutes long. I went to the beach. I saw real snails in the vlog. Guys, it's a journey. y'all gotta check that out on the Patreon. But basically, this is the story of a woman who becomes chronically ill, and for a really big part of her illness is that she can't stand up for very long. Like something has like this pathogen has done something to her body that it's like changed her blood in a way that like if she stands for too long, she like gets really, really weak and will like pass out. And so she lays a lot of the time and she can't really do much on her own. So she is bedridden. She is stuck at home. She's lonely. She's really reconsidering like what is life, because she had, you know, all of these plans that involved a much more active lifestyle, and she's like, how can I be the person I want to be if I'm like literally trapped in bed all day? And so she's at home, and then like this happens like on the second page, the first page, her friend brings her a snail.
I feel like, what a choice.
I feel like if you were bedridden and sick, I'm the one who would show up with the snail, Raylene.
100%. I'd be like, well, Raylene, I don't know how this is going to help me.
Raylene wouldn't bring me a snail, but I would definitely bring Raylene a snail. But yeah, so her friend brings her a snail, and the author, because obviously this is nonfiction, the author is like, what am I supposed to do with this? And the friend is like, I don't know, I just thought you'd like it. And she's like, oh boy, okay. And then her friend leaves, and she watches the snail. And she becomes like friends with the snail. Like she loves the snail by the end of the book. So the book is about like her relationship with the snail, her thinking about how her life has changed, her thinking about chronic illness, and also learning so much information about snails. Perhaps too much information about snails. I know everything there is to know about snails. I know a lot about the mating rituals of snails. There's like about a third of snails do this thing where they like create basically like a little arrow, like a little dart within their body, and then when they see a snail that they like, they will shoot it with their little dart, and then the other one will dart you as well, and so you,
what,
it's kind of like Cupid, you know, like they dart each
dart
other
me.
And then that's how they like tell each other that they like each other, and that a lot of the like reproduction stuff is in their dart.
That's
there's
crazy.
A lot there, really. There's a lot to know about the snails.
I have a question for you. Does
please.
The snail have a name?
No. So she thinks about naming it, and she just like realizes that she likes calling it the snail, basically. So she never names it. It was kind of a thing in the book. I was like, when's she going to name this? Because like, it would not take me very long to name a snail. But she
kind of
intentionally keeps it named as the snail. And there's this really cute part at the end, like after the end of the book, like an appendix, where she talks about like, if you want to have a snail, here are some things you should keep in mind. And it was really cool because basically she's like, if you want to keep a snail, totally do it. You can learn so much. It's really fun. But only have it for like a few weeks or a few months and then put it back where you found it. Which I think is such a cool way to think about a pet. Because obviously you can't do that with a cat or a dog. Like you can't just be like, oh, I'll adopt this stray for 3 weeks and then put him back in the alley I found him in. You can't do that. But like with a snail, especially you can't do that because like say you take a kitten. You can't release a kitten into the wild. You've domesticated it. It lost a period of its time when it should have learned how to hunt and stuff, right? Well, a snail, that's not how a snail works. Like, a snail will be totally fine if you put it back in its environment. So now I kind of want a pet snail. I was thinking a lot about this, too, because I was like, I read sourdough and I made sourdough. I read albatross. I bought a fountain pen. I read this book. Now I need a pet snail. I think it'd be really fun to, like, make a terrarium.
Okay, we're looking. Now that you're finished your bookshelves, I can only imagine that's what's going to happen.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, could I have a terrarium on my bookshelf? Maybe. Maybe. Okay, Raylene, what did you finish?
Well, I have finished a few really random books, actually. So there's one book that I forgot to mention in the book haul because I forgot to grab it. But yeah. I also read this book right after I bought it. I got it from a thrift store. And then I read it, like, the next day. Cool. And it's called She Must Be Mad by Charlie Cox. I think you've read this, right?
Yes.
It's a poetry book.
Yeah, Charlie is great. She's in my documentary about poetry.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I've been to her house. Awesome. She is so cool. Her house is really cool. It's a cottage kind of house. And it's like in this area, it's like, it's so British. It's so quintessentially British where like the house doesn't have a number. It has a name, you know, like it's very delightful. She's awesome. She's a really nice person.
Yeah, like I just picked it up randomly at a thrift store and I quickly looked at reviews and I saw that you had read it. You didn't really give it a review. You just put like a leaf or something. But I was like, I'm sure she liked it at least a little
bit. Yeah, I felt weird reviewing it because she was in my documentary.
Yeah.
I was
that
like,
makes sense
I'm
now.
Gonna be
I
biased.
Understand everything now. But yeah, I randomly just picked it up because I was like, you know what? I want something quick and this looks really good. It's a poetry collection that's kind of like a coming of age. There's some prose in there as well, which honestly was my favorite part of the book was all of the prose portions.
I agree.
But it has to do with like body image and mental health and being a woman in the world today. And I really, really enjoyed it. I was surprised how much I enjoyed it.
That's
actually.
Awesome.
Yeah, I actually dog-eared a bunch of pages because I wanted to be able to look back on those poems.
Yeah.
And since I bought it at a thrift store, I didn't really care. Somebody had already highlighted some lines in it. So I was like, you know what? This book, it's just going to be, you know, part of the journey now is, you know, us writing in it and dog-earing pages. So I think that was really cool. So I read that and really, really loved it, actually.
That's awesome.
What else have I read? Actually, I've read, before I get into the other books I finished, I need to tell you something.
Uh-oh. you say that in a worrying way. You're doing your little thing where you kind of cover your face a little.
It's a worrying thing indeed. So last time we did an update episode, I forgot to mention that I actually read Bobcat and Other Stories, which was one of my TBR challenge cat books that I challenged myself.
Are you about to tell me you didn't like Time Cat?
I can't. You gotta keep recording, man. You gotta let it. You can't pause. There's no pausing.
I'm not pausing the recording. I'm pausing your story. Everyone is hearing what I'm saying. Did you not like Time Cat?
We'll get there.
Oh God. Oh God.
So I did read Bobcat. I forgot to mention it. And then last weekend, I wanted to read Time Cat. I sat down to read Time Cat. I read the first 50 pages of Time Cat and it was not good.
No!
Unfortunately. It's just so clearly a kid's book, like nothing against the book itself.
Yeah.
It's just not something that I feel like reading at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. Because this book is about a cat that can travel. Actually, it's kind of funny. The way it's framed in this book is that every cat can travel through time. They can travel to 9 different lives.
Oh.
Like, because the kid asks his cat, because his cat just starts talking to him one day. He's like, oh man, what's going on? And the cat's like, yeah, cats live 9 lives. It's just like actual lives that existed like in the past or whatever. So he can travel back in time and space to, I guess, 9 different places. But in the first 50 pages, the cat takes his friend, his kid, his human kid, to like 4 different places. And just in the first 50 pages. So I just didn't like, it didn't like delve deep enough into like each place that they go to. And maybe they travel back again later in the book or something, but it just wasn't really what I wanted at that moment. I may read it sometime in the future, but it was a little too childish for me and I just wasn't finding it like joyful enough. So I did not finish Time Cat and I'm sorry.
God.
It's not gonna happen anytime soon. I know you were really excited for me to read Time Cat.
I'm devastated because it means we don't get to say Time Cat in a joyful, fun way anymore.
Time Cat. Now it's Time Cat.
Now it's Time Cat.
I know. I was really sad. I've been holding on to that information for a week because I wanted to break it to you on the podcast live for everyone.
Live. Everyone can hear my pain. Great.
Yeah. However, I did read a book that you recommended to me and really enjoyed.
Oh.
And that is Kim Ji-young, born 1982 by Cho Nam-ji.
Oh, man. Okay, tell me more, because...
Yeah, so our friend Max, friend of the pod, Max, he recently picked up this book, and he put up his May TBR, and that book was included in it. I said, oh, hey, I want to read that, too. And he said, hey, do you want to buddy read it? So we, the course of 3 days, we buddy read it. And it was so fun to read this book and talk about it with someone, because there is a lot to unpack in this book. You've obviously talked about it quite a bit, but essentially this book is about a woman named Kim Ji-young. She's in her early 30s, and at the beginning of the book, it's kind of like present day, and she's married and has a kid, and she's kind of going crazy. Mm-hmm. And so her husband is like, something is wrong with you. And then it kind of goes back to when she was a kid and gives you her whole story from childhood to now. And the main theme throughout this book is how misogynistic Korea is, mainly, and just like, but just in general, the world, like all the microaggressions that women face and the outright, you know, sexism that is present in a lot of people's everyday lives. And it's told in a very clinical way because it's kind of framed as like, this is someone giving a report on Kim Ji-young's life.
Yeah, it's like a report, but also it's supposed to sort of like, she's supposed to be like the average woman. Like she's almost, almost doesn't have a personality because she's a little bit just like the average Korean woman.
Yeah, because Kim Ji-young is the most common female name, I think, in Korea. So it's like she's just every, you know, she's an every woman.
You're right.
And this, what I found most fascinating about this book actually was looking it up after I had finished it to see, like, how was this received in Korea?
Mm-hmm.
And my God, people were so mad about this book. Mainly so, men, obviously, but
it's so interesting for it to be so controversial over here and or over there, and here to just be like completely praised. It shows like different countries have different like relationships with literature. It's so cool.
Yeah, because it's a very feministy book, and in Korea that is not something that's okay. They're much more conservative and like want to kind of stay the way things are, it seems. Like they don't want to really be progressive.
Right.
And so it's very interesting that this one, that the author wrote this book and was just like, yeah, here you go, world, have this book.
Right.
But it was like, it was also very popular in Korea. Like it has sold millions of copies.
Yeah.
But people are so angry about it. Like I was reading an article that was saying that there's a bunch of K-pop idols who have said that they read this book and enjoyed it, and people harass them online.
I remember seeing something about that. That's horrifying. Yeah, that's crazy.
So it's to the type of book that I'm just like, just simply because of all that, I'm like, everyone should read this. Like, just read it to, you know,
it's a moment.
The horrible system.
It's a real moment. I'm proud of the author for going ahead, because she must have known that it would be received.
Oh, totally,
at least in part,
she understands her culture, obviously.
Exactly.
And it's also been made into a movie, which I didn't realize came out in 2019,
I think.
Same thing. As soon as this movie came out, because it was like 4 or 5 years after the book came out,
yikes,
just sparked this whole big crazy thing in Korea again. So the lead actress of that movie, I think, got harassed a lot just for being in the movie.
Wow.
But I think it's so interesting because it's like, it's about this woman who just wants to live a normal life, and she has such a hard time trying to like get into a school. She has a hard time trying to find a job, and then she kind of is forced into becoming a mother, even though she's like, oof, do I really want this? Do I really care?
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just such a good book. I really enjoyed it.
It's cool.
So
it's
so
almost,
that was a cool one.
It's almost like, the plot is a little bit boring because not that much happens.
Yeah.
Like it's not the, but it's more
not
about
plot
just
based at all.
Yeah, yeah, it's more about just learning. It's like an educate, because like I remember when I reviewed it on the pod, one of the things I talked about was like, I've never read a novel that had footnotes before.
Yeah.
Like,
but it was like, okay, it's a novel that's trying to tell you something.
Yeah, like, there's all these stats and information and like facts where you're just like, okay, well, that's not fiction at all.
Right? Actually, I bookmarked one page in this book because it kind of encapsulates a lot of the feelings that happened throughout the book.
Yeah.
So it's talking about Kim Ji-young's dad. He like goes out for drinks with his friends, and he says everyone is basically jealous of him. He had the largest income in house. Everyone was jealous of his three children. His eldest, a teacher. His second, attending university in Seoul. And his youngest, a son. Like, that's all that needs to be said.
Yeah.
The two oldest kids are daughters. They are only accomplished because of what they've done. The youngest, you know, how awesome, we have a boy.
Yes.
It's just, like, that really says it all. I really enjoyed that.
I thought the parts when she was a child were very interesting. Especially, like, it's just one of those things where you and I probably don't even, because we don't know the difference when you're a kid growing up, we probably don't even recognize how lucky we were growing up with a parent or parents who don't treat us any different, right? Like, I know my parents literally did not treat me and my brother any different whatsoever. Anything that I got to do, my brother got to do, and vice versa, to the point, and I mean, this is controversial and my mom laughs about it all the time, every Thursday my mom would dress me and my brother the exact same. Like, I don't know why, and she thought it was really cute and fun. And I mean, you're a parent, you're just, you know, having fun with your kids, but like, we would always, like, usually wear like a black t-shirt and then like a pair of like military, like camouflage pants. We were like these little army kids. And like every Thursday, or we'd like wear the same sweatsuit from Roots or something. Like, you know, like unisex clothing, not that clothing is ever gendered, but like, you know, we just kind of wear this androgynous clothing and we literally wear the exact same outfit. I feel like that's the biggest example I can give of how my parents clearly did not care about me and my brother's gender. Like, they were like, you're just our two kids. But then you read like a book like Kim Ji-young, and you're like, the way that they treat their son versus their two daughters,
it's insane,
is insanely different.
Which is how it would have eye-opening. Because I assume it's very accurate. Like, obviously I don't know for sure, but just reading this book, I'm like, oh my god.
And it wouldn't have been that different here in Canada either, like 100 years ago. That's right. True. It was always more valuable to have a son. So, you know, everyone has gone, like, I mean, maybe there are some cultures that haven't, but most cultures have gone through that kind of thing. It's so fascinating. I'm really glad you read and enjoyed it, and it's cool that you read it with Max.
Yeah, it was awesome. Guy. Really good for a buddy read. Recommend it. But I read one more book. I also read, and you already know this, but I read Crying in H Mart by Michelle Zahn.
Yes.
I just finished the audiobook for this, and oh my goodness.
Wow.
It was so good. It's probably like one of the best books I've read so far this year.
Wow, okay.
I haven't been giving out many 5-star reviews, and this one was 5 stars. Like, there was, it was just so, so good. So this book came out fairly recently. Michelle Zahner is a mixed race woman. She's half Korean, half American, white. And she basically, throughout, like, what the book is about, it's a memoir. Her mom was dying of cancer, and so Michelle kind of had to reconnect with her because they had a complicated relationship growing up. She goes through her whole childhood and, you know, how things were between them. But then at the point that the book takes place, her mom is sick and she has to take care of her. And it's about her reconnecting with her through food, about trying to reconnect with her Korean side, because even there's one part in the book where Michelle says, like, she went to school and a bunch of kids are, you know, asking her, you know, where is she from or whatever, because they don't understand they don't understand her. And she goes back to her mom and says, people are making fun of me for being Korean, and her mom says, you're not Korean, you're American. So even like her mom is like, you're not Korean, but she's half Korean. So it was very interesting reading about, because you always talk about how you like reading about mixed race people because you can relate to them, and I can't relate, but it's interesting to like hear that story. And this book has a lot to do with food as well, because Michelle is trying to reconnect with her mom through food first and foremost. Like, she learns how to make kimchi, and she's trying to make all these dishes that her mom loves that she has always made for Michelle and stuff. So it was just a really, really well done memoir and very interesting. Like, I didn't know who Michelle Zahner was before I read this book, but turns out she's a famous musician.
Her
band, she's kind of like, I thought she was a one person band, but she does have like a band for her music, and she's called Japanese Breakfast. So I've started listening to her actually, and her music is very kind of like ethereal and dreamy.
Yeah.
And her first album is actually all songs that she wrote after her mother died, and that's kind of what sparked her fame. So it's like all of it is intertwined with each other. Like her music career is all has to do with her mom, and I just think that's so beautiful. And yeah, really great book. I could go on and on about it all day, but I highly recommend it. Definitely listen to the audiobook if you can get it, because it was just so good. And gosh,
I was already so excited for this, and now you've completely sold me. Like, I need to check this out.
You gotta listen to it.
I am so curious why the band is called Japanese Breakfast if she is South Korean.
She explains it in the book, actually.
What is it? Why? What can you tell me?
Like, how did she say it? She wanted to pick a word that was something that's just like all American, something people would recognize, which is breakfast. And then she wanted to pick something that is kind of viewed as, you know, to Americans is viewed as like exotic, and that's Japan. Okay. Is kind of like the thing that a lot of Americans are kind of gravitate towards.
Totally.
And so she picked it just kind of as like a thing, and it's also kind of fun because she's like, people who really know me will understand, like, I'm not Japanese, but people who don't actually know her will just assume she's Japanese, and she thinks that's kind of funny.
That is kind of funny. Okay, I'm glad I asked, because I was like, I'm so curious.
Yeah, I was like, I don't get it, but then she kind of explained it, and I was like, okay, I understand you, Michelle. She's very cool. I recommend
that sounds so phenomenal, and I mean, just on the few sentences you said, I think it sounds like, you know, the benefits of when a person who's actually experienced something writes about it or shares, like, in a memoir form their real experiences. I think, like, for example, it's so complicated to say, like, if you were raised in one country and you're mixed race, especially, like, if you're, if you're, it's not both of your parents immigrated from some country and then you live in a different country, but you're raised by two people who have the same culture and you're with that language, etc. If you have an experience that is more and more common, which is like being mixed race, your parents have two different races and maybe you speak two different languages, like deciding what identity you are, or like other people, more likely other people picking what your identity is. Like she's kind of making a whole joke of it with the Japanese. Now I love the name even more, the Japanese breakfast, because she's like, yeah, you can call me whatever you want, but I'm the only one who knows what I am. But like you said, like her mom being like, well, you're not Korean, you're American. And she's like, uh-oh, we have different perceptions.
Yeah, exactly. It's very interesting.
That's really cool. Well, I should shut up until I actually read it, but I'm very excited to read it soon.
Well, are you currently reading anything?
What am I currently reading? I don't know why I was so unprepared for that question. I'm like looking around. Did you see me? Did you see my head like go around? I was like, what am I reading? I have no idea. Not really. I started reading What I Talk About When I Talk About Running when did the live show. And I've read a little bit more of it, but not that much. But I'm really enjoying that. So I definitely want to finish this. But to be honest, I read Emma and another book this week. That's more than enough, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that's very true. You've actually finished books, which doesn't always happen. So.
It's true. It's like, it's funny because I could take that as a very shady thing to say, but it's just the honest truth.
Like, there's nothing wrong with that. It's honestly, most people don't finish a book every week or every 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
You know, it's different, and you built bookshelves, so that's a little
bit
more exciting.
I built bookshelves, ladies and gentlemen. I also finally posted my room, my bedroom room renovation video, and that was a huge editing thing. Yeah. So doing that was, I'm exhausted is my point. Also, so
you've accomplished a lot.
I was really sick for 2 days. I woke up, do the people care? I don't know, but they're about to find out. I woke up the other day and it was 2:30 in the morning. And I had this feeling where I was like, oh God, no, I am in so much pain and I'm not going to be able to go to sleep, even though I'm so tired. You know that feeling where you're like, all I want to do is freaking go to sleep and it's not going to happen. I was up walking around for like 3 hours, because I just had this insane stomach pain. And I threw up, which I never do.
Oh, that's horrible.
But I had the same thing literally a month ago where I woke up in the middle of the night and I ended up throwing up. And I'm like, okay, so in the last month, I've thrown up twice. Sorry if this is disgusting for people. I threw up twice, but I legitimately have not, I don't remember throwing up in like the last 7 years. Like, I don't even remember other than this month, the last time I even threw up. So it's just been, I don't know what happened, but like that completely knocked me out for a day because I was like,
I felt so bad. I feel better now, though, so it's okay.
That's good. Well, I am currently reading a couple of books, so I guess I'll just jump right in.
Please do.
So similarly to you, I started a book around when we did our live show, mm-hmm. and that book is Get a Life, Chloe Brown by Talia Hibbert. I started this book, I guess it was last week on the weekend, and I've just been, I've been bombarded with library books and audiobooks I have to finish, so I'm halfway through, and I was really enjoying it. I'm still enjoying it. I just haven't read it in like a week, so mm-hmm. I feel kind of detached from it at this moment, but as soon as I'm done the next couple of books I'm reading, I will finish that. And the next book I'm reading, I'm really excited to tell the world about.
Oh.
So I randomly just discovered this book looking through the inventory of my local indie bookstore. I was like, what is that? And I looked it up and it sounded so good, so I just had to buy it. And I'm reading it now. It's called Interior Chinatown by Charles Yu. I don't know if you've seen this one.
Oh, I've definitely seen that cover. I don't know what it's about, but it's got a sticker. It's got a prize.
Yeah, National Book Award. That's another way that I've discovered it. I started looking up the National Book Award past couple of years.
It's so funny now that we literally went from not caring about prizes at all, literally having an existential crisis live on recording, mm-hmm. and now all we talk about is book awards.
Yeah, so I think the National Book Award is really cool, because I don't know when, it's kind of seems to have changed over the years, but the way they're doing it now is there's 5 books that win each year. Mm. There's the book for fiction that wins, there's a nonfiction, poetry, young adult, and
children?
Translated fiction, or international fiction.
Cool.
So this one won for 2020 for the fiction, and then Tokyo Ueno Station won for the international, which I'm really excited. I want to get that book too.
So do I.
Uh-oh. So, yeah. Don't start looking at the awards. They've got lots of cool books on their website. But anyway, so I'm reading this, and this is actually the book I'm doing for this month's reading vlog. So by the time this episode comes out, the reading vlog should already be up, so I should have finished this book by then.
Cool.
So this is kind of a weird time warp. But yeah, so... This book is just utterly fantastic. It's about this guy named Willis Wu, who is an actor. He really wants to be... Well, he's an Asian actor. So that, the whole book is about him and his family and people in his community trying to make their way up through Hollywood, basically, and how it's impossible because of their race.
Okay.
Because they're constantly typecast into, being... this person that works at a Chinese food restaurant or kung fu guy.
Right.
So it's funny, actually. I'll just read you the first page. This is Willis Wu is his name. It says, ever since you were a boy, you've dreamt of being kung fu guy. You are not kung fu guy. You are currently background oriental male, but you've been practicing. Maybe tomorrow will be the day.
Yikes.
And yeah, it's just like, oh, it hurts me. It hurts. Like, it's too real a lot of the times. Like, throughout this book, like, it's satirical. So it's very intense, dark topics. And he just kind of, says it in such an offhand way that is just, striking. Like, it's hilarious, but also so sad and so intense. Mm. And so this whole book is about Willis, who, like I said, he is an actor. He's working on this TV show that's called Black and White. And it's, a cop show that's kind of, CSI or something, just a really stupid show where they solve impossible crimes every single episode. But the two main characters are a white woman and a black man, and they're the leads. And all of the Asian people are just gang members or people that work at a Chinese food restaurant. And the book is written kind of in a script format for a lot of it. So whenever they're doing the TV show, they are, it's written like a script. And just the way that it's written is so biting, and it's just that's not good. So it's a very interesting read, but very strange. But it's a very quick read also. I'm halfway through it, and I just started it a couple of days ago. But every single page, I just want to quote it. I just want to highlight the entire book, because it's so well done and such a good social commentary that I haven't really seen anywhere yet. And it's just incredible. I just can't stop screaming about this book. I really, really love it. I have a feeling it's going to become a new favorite. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's just so random. I had never heard of it until a couple weeks ago. And now suddenly I'm like, this is incredible. Everyone must read it. So, that's Interior Chinatown is the name of the book for everyone listening.
Did you pick it up because of the book award? The National Book
Award? No, I realized it was on the book award after I had bought it. Okay, I picked it up just because it seemed cool.
Yeah, it's got a great cover.
I heard person working on a TV show satire, you know, that kind of stuff all like just appealed to me right away. And the cover is also great. It's just fantastic. So that is all kind of what drew me into it. And then I started looking at the award because I realized it had won the award and I was like, oh, I should look into that one too. And started kind of deep diving into the National Book Award, which I think could be another big award for me to really dive into. Indeed. But yeah, that's everything I'm reading. So, whew, big episode. I feel like I'm reading a lot lately.
Yeah.
It feels like I haven't been.
I mean, it's awesome, though, because there's, I mean, I just feel like you've got a lot of good books. It's not just books. It's, like, exciting books.
No, exactly. I'm finally, like, getting into a good groove where I'm reading a lot of books I've been enjoying. I feel like that hasn't really happened much this year yet. And so I'm really excited. I've been loving everything I've been reading lately. So that's awesome. Well, you know what? It's about that time again. We need to, it's time for book news.
Woo! All right. I've got some fun book news.
Okay.
First of all, I think it's all book prize related. So three pieces of book news and it's all book prize. So the first one is that Alice Oseman won the YA Book Prize for Loveless, which is fun. We were just talking about Loveless a couple episodes ago. And the YA Book Prize is a British prize that was established semi-recently. What year was it? I want to say it was like, for some reason, I was reading about it earlier. I feel like it was 2014 that it started. But yeah, it's a British prize that celebrates YA books, obviously. And Alice Oseman won it. Go Alice Oseman. So another reason for us to check out that book. On the website, it says the YA Book Prize launched in 2014 to award a YA title written by an author living in the UK or Ireland. It's the first prize in the UK and Ireland to specifically focus on fiction for young adults and addresses an important need for a prize in the growing YA and teen market. So it's a really big prize to have won, and I'm really proud of Alice. Go Alice. My second piece of book news is that the Governor General Awards have been announced. So that is, I feel like there's three big Canadian prizes. The Giller, the Governor Generals, and the, what's the other? Oh, Canada Reads, of course. So the books got announced, and similar to what you were saying for the National Book Prize, they have a bunch of different sections. So they have like fiction, then nonfiction, poetry. There's a couple other sections, but then there's all of the same sections in French. So there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of books get nominated. Which is very cool. And I think it's cool that they specifically do French books. But I thought it would be fun just to name the books that got nominated for the English fiction section, since those are the only ones you and me could read. Although, do you think you could read a whole book in French, or would it drive you crazy?
It would probably drive me crazy. Yeah. I'm too out of practice. There would be so many words that I would be like, what does that mean? And it would be something totally
different. Do I want to Google that right now? No. Yeah. Although I will say, I was thinking about this because many years ago I bought Le Petit Prince and I wanted to read it as like my first attempt in many years at reading a book in French.
Yeah.
And I figured that I would be able to do it because it's a kid's book. And so I was like, that will help me go through it. And I keep not doing it because it seems like it's going to be such a challenge. But then I realized I have the Google Translate app on my phone.
Yeah.
And I used it when I was in Japan because it has a camera function. So you can just point it at like Japanese characters and it will translate it to English. So I was like, that would be so much better when you're trying to read a book in a different language, instead of like literally having to type in the whole word every single time, just like pointing your camera at it. And it will be like, it says this. And you're like, oh, thank God. So that's just a hack. But anyway, here are the books. Butter, Honey, Pig, Bread by Francesca Ekweyasi. Five Little Indians by Michelle Good. Indians on Vacation by Thomas King. Nupaming by Leanne Betasamosake Simpson. Wow, this cover is hard to read. It's like the title five times in a row or something. The Baudelaire Fractal by Lisa Robertson. So those were all the ones that were nominated in the fiction section. But like I said, very cool. There's then the French section, but all of them are in French. Chasse à l'homme. I know that means men, but I don't know what chasse means.
Well, let's just maybe end that part there. Maybe no more French today.
The final piece of news I thought was amazing. I'm so excited. This is from 3 weeks ago, I guess. But it was written about in the New York Times and in the Guardian and a few different places. Raylene, there has been a giant scam in the book prize world. Oh, no. So the organizers of at least, this is the subtitle to the New York Times article. The organizers of at least 5 British awards received emails asking them to transfer the prize money to a PayPal account. And one of them did it. So basically, whenever there's like a big award that has like a 30,000 or 30,000 pound prize, these scammers will like email pretending to be the author. And they will say something along the lines of like, "Dear Booker Prize," although the Booker Prize was not one of the ones that they reached out to, but like, "Dear Booker Prize, it's Raylene Lemay here. As you know, I just won the prize, but because of," and it's like very specific, like the way that they word it, it's like, "because of COVID, my bank is going through like this really weird process, and I can't do a check. So do you think that we could just send it to my PayPal?" And then they like list the PayPal details. Yeah. And this one prize sent 30,000 pounds. Oh my god, that's so horrifying. But yeah, they sent 30,000 pounds, and which it says is about 41,000 American. The Rathbones Folio Prize. I don't know what that prize is, but
yikes.
Pretending to be the author Valeria Luiselli. Great name. Whoa.
Yeah, wow.
But yeah, they got scammed, which is horrifying. It is. It's horrifying. So apparently everyone's like, from now on, we're only going to do checks because we
don't. Damn. That is really unfortunate. But interesting that it was all book prize news today.
I know. It's funny, too, though. Like, in one of them, okay, right here. This is from the New York Times article. The few share that idea. The email lacks a certain literary flair. Quote, "The prose was a bit dead and there was no warmth. As a literary critic, I would say there was all the right words, but none of the fire." I'm not thinking, my God, it's Salman Rushdie. So they were like, we knew it was a scammer because it didn't feel like a very literary email. And I'm like, that is the most book world thing you've ever said. We didn't fall for the scam because it wasn't well written enough.
It wasn't very smart.
So, yeah. Watch incredible. Out, ladies and gentlemen. Scammers abound. We're like this far away, Raylene, from starting a Books Unbound prize because we're so into prizes now.
That's true. We do love prizes.
All right. Well, it's time for Ruben's Book Olds.
Well, this is kind of funny because the one I picked, I just realized, is actually not old. But I'm going to discuss it anyway. So it's a Japanese book that is just recently, I think, being translated, and the it's actually not out yet. It comes out in September here, but it came out in 2017 in Japan, so that's what I was sticking on.
Okay.
But it's, you're gonna have to look up this book because it's got the coolest cover ever. It's called Lonely Castle in the Mirror by Mizuki Sugimura.
Great name.
And it's translated by Philip Gabriel. Which I recognize his name.
He does the Haruki Murakami translation.
There you go. That's what it is.
This cool cover. You're right.
It is the very, very cool cover. I think I might actually pre-order this. Might as well just to dive deeper and order some more books. I'll just read out the synopsis here for everyone. 7 students are avoiding going to school, hiding in their darkened bedrooms, unable to face their family and friends, until the moment they discover a portal into another world that offers temporary escape from their stressful lives. Passing through a glowing mirror, they gather in a magnificent castle which becomes their playground and refuge during school hours. The students are tasked with locating a key hidden somewhere in the castle that will allow whoever finds it to be granted one wish. At this moment, the castle will vanish, along with all memories they may they may have of their adventure. Mm-hmm. If they fail to leave the castle by 5 p.m. every afternoon, they will be eaten by the keeper of the castle, an easily provoked and shrill creature named the Wolf Queen. Mm. So that just sounds so darn cool.
Yeah, it sounds really awesome.
It's got a cool synopsis, a very cool cover. Unfortunately, it's not old, but you know what? Maybe today I'm just doing book release book news. So it's, well, it is what it is.
I think actually it's come out in the UK now.
Oh.
Because I've just accidentally got on to Twitter, dear God.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to. but it says 1 week until the publication of this gem, says someone. Oh. So maybe it's cool. Out in the UK, just maybe, not here yeah. yet.
Maybe, yeah. It comes out September 28th in Canada, though. I just looked it up on Indigo.
Okay.
So that's a thing. I'm just for sure going to pre-order that because it sounds right up my alley. So yeah, that was my Ruben's Book Olds. That's not actually old. So there you go. Well, that's it for today, folks. We've done it again. We did one more big old episode and we had a good old time. So thank you guys so much for listening. We are off to go record a bonus podcast. So if you're interested in Books on Bucket, where we just ask each other random questions or we get questions off of Discord, in this week's episode, I actually came up with a Books on Bucket myself, by some miracle. I feel like most of the time I feel like I've tapped out my creative like book questions and they're just, I can't come up with anymore. But this week I came up with a question for you, Ariel, and it is, when you're reading a book, do you ever picture, you know, famous people or people you know, or even places that you know when you're reading books?
Right.
I'm just very curious, like which books, which people do you picture? Because I feel like I do this a lot. And so I'm really curious to hear your thoughts on this. And, yeah, so we'll be asking and answering that question over on Patreon. And yeah, off we go to go record that. And we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.